The carbon tax is gone in Canada and is unlikely to come back anytime soon. What will this mean for you? And is there still a way for us to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in this country and tackle climate change? The answer is yes, but how? Welcome to Government Policy Unpacked, the podcast for proactive Canadians where we break down the most pressing government policy issues so you can finally understand what's going on, be a part of the solution, and hold your government leaders accountable. Hey everyone, I'm Rupesh Patel. Thanks for joining me again. I was away for the last few weeks, but I'm back to posting episodes weekly. If you want to understand the most pressing issues that governments in Canada are dealing with, then please consider following the show. And if you really like what you're hearing week to week, then write a review. It truly does help draw more listeners to this podcast, so I hope you do that. I often get asked how I have time to work full-time, be a family man, and run a podcast. Honestly, it can be really hard sometimes. I'm working on these things late in the evening. But to know you all are empowered with the information that could potentially make a positive difference in this country is motivation enough for me. I'm often researching and composing my thoughts on my commute to work, and like I said, late into the evenings when my kids go to bed. There's no ripping off of content here and republishing. I do all the work, I do all the research, and simplify things for you. Okay, let's get into it. In this episode, you will understand why there is even a carbon price to begin with and how it was intended to work. You'll also understand how taxing the biggest polluters might be the most cost-effective way to bring down some of Canada's greenhouse gas emissions. There's a lot to go over, so let's unpack this. Justin Trudeau is out. Some of you might be really happy about this. Some of you might not be. Former central banker and economist Mark Carney is now our 24th prime minister, at least until April 28th, because that's when the election is. That's when we all get an opportunity to cast a ballot to decide the government that will steer our country through these tumultuous times. I imagine if you're listening to this podcast that you're probably not the person to sit out on the sidelines during this election. So I know you're going to vote. But if you know somebody who is not so sure, you just got to get them to. It's so important. We have such limited power, it feels like, these days, and all we have is that vote. So please, everyone, get out to vote. I imagine on your minds is the Trump tariffs, probably, its impact to our economy, its national sovereignty. All of that must be on the top of your minds, hey? What about housing and affordability, healthcare, and climate change? You know, not too long ago, climate change was actually rising as one of those top issues. And not too long ago, also, the carbon tax was, you heard the axe the tax slogan from the conservatives. It was definitely a focus. So I want to talk about those two things, climate change and the carbon tax. Let's talk about climate change first. The science here is clear. Global temperatures are rising, and overall, we are not on track to prevent a 1.5 degrees Celsius increase above pre-industrial levels. That's the target set in the Paris Climate Accord that we have to hit. Otherwise, it could have devastating impacts if we don't to the way of life for many on our planet. As many of you are aware, temperatures are rising due to rising greenhouse gas emissions from gases such as carbon dioxide or CO2 and methane. While Canada's total greenhouse gas emissions aren't the highest in the world, if you think about the total itself, they are one of the highest when you think about on a per person basis. So we do have a role to play in contributing to climate change, and we as Canadians actually have a large carbon footprint. Governments around the world are trying to think about how to solve this problem and how to bring down emissions, but they're also trying to balance how do you minimize the impact to their economies, right? Especially since so much of our world works, the way it works depends on the burning of oil and gas. And so this is where Canada, in the past under the Trudeau government, turned to having a carbon tax as one of its solutions. Now, the federal government wasn't the first place to have a carbon tax. Actually, BC was, in terms of applying it to the entire economy, so it wasn't the first. But to do it across the board to the whole country was a big deal. There were other policies too that were in place, like incentives to retrofit your home. You probably heard about these programs to install solar panels, for instance, or to, you know, improve the attic insulation, or to, you know, improve your windows, things like that, or even incentives to buy electric vehicles. But its signature climate policy and the one that got the most attention was absolutely the carbon tax. Now, just to help you out here, the idea behind the tax was that if you increase the price on our fuels, so your gasoline, for instance, that gradually we as Canadians would change our behavior and make greener choices, right? If things are costing more, you might see if you can actually substitute something with a different fuel. And over time, you'd feel less pressure from that tax because you're burning less gas, and in turn, you're reducing emissions, right? Seems like a win-win. The revenue that the federal government was getting would also then be returned to Canadians. It was called a revenue neutral carbon tax, sorry. And that would be done so throughout the year. And so especially if you were using less fossil fuels, you might actually be realizing a monetary benefit. And in principle, most economists would agree, and at one point even conservatives agreed, that instead of having regulations that limited the use of oil and gas, people should have a choice. If they want to pollute, well, they pay a little extra for it. And then if they didn't want to, then they would be incentivized to make some changes. But after years of the carbon tax and that price increase, you could just see more and more of us as Canadians no longer wanted it. And it's even understandable for those who want climate action. In the last few years, things have gotten really tough when you think about inflation and higher prices. It's really hurt all of us. So to have an added tax, I think, was becoming hard to stomach. Also, remember I said that if prices go up on your gas, the thought is that, well, maybe you'd substitute it with something else. So even if you wanted to, you know, have solar panels, or if you wanted an electric vehicle, making the switch was just too expensive and likely not possible for many people. EVs are still today a luxury item for many. It's tough to find an EV that's $30,000, $40,000. And even then, that's an expensive car for many. And so it's like you're getting punished with a tax, but you can't do anything about it to relieve the pressure of it. So you're essentially stuck. So instead of what feels like punishment to the average Canadian and consumers with a carbon tax, what else could we do to reduce emissions? Well, the big part of that answer lies with addressing the biggest polluters, or the largest emitters in Canada, which is actually the primary contributor to why we as Canadians have a large carbon footprint. Mark Carney, our Prime Minister, is drawing attention to this right now in the current election. But believe it or not, the first place to actually find those heavy, big emitters was the rich oil and gas province of Alberta. In 2007, Alberta began charging companies that emitted more than 100,000 tons of greenhouse gas emissions annually that did not reduce their carbon emissions by a certain percentage. So if you didn't reduce it by a certain percentage and you emitted 100,000 tons, you would get charged something. And, you know, you can think of it as a tax perhaps. And it largely hit the oil and gas and coal companies, which accounted for 70% of Alberta's emissions. And so since that time, the policy has largely remained. It shifted here and there, but the intent is still the same, and it's to still focus on the heaviest emitters in Alberta. So without a federal carbon tax, should the federal government itself enact something similar? Or maybe you raise the price higher than what the provinces have in place. So let's just say it's like $14 a ton or something like that. Maybe you make it $30 or something. It's a good question and something that likely would be explored if a federal policy comes into place. There's actually been some really great work done by the Canadian Climate Institute think tank to show that focusing on the heaviest emitters would be the most effective way for Canada to reduce its greenhouse gas emissions. it still wouldn't fully allow Canada to reach its current climate targets that it committed to as part of the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement, but could reduce emissions anywhere from 20 to 48%. And when you add other policies to kind of complement it, and you have other actions, then further emission reductions are definitely possible. So the bottom line is that if you care about reducing greenhouse gas emissions in Canada, it will not be possible without addressing the largest emitters in our country. The other benefit of charging large emitters in the way current policies are designed, for example, like I said, in Alberta, is that they still allow these businesses, these industries, to be competitive abroad, and also it incentivizes them to make those emission reductions. Many of these large emitters and these businesses actually export their products, so you need to make sure that whatever tax or fine you place on them, you're not going to put them at a disadvantage when they're competing in the global market. Okay, let's step back though, but if you increase the cost on these industries, you might be thinking, won't they just trickle down to the consumer? They might, but actually we as consumers would barely feel them, if at all. See, the cost imposed on large emitters is much lower than the cost from the consumer carbon tax that we all faced. And that is, again, to ensure these industries remain competitive. Second, with most of these large emitters exporting their products, Canadian consumers are not being directly exposed to them. And finally, exported goods from Canada are largely in this kind of raw form and only have a small impact on the finished product. So if you have added carbon costs to a high-emitting aluminum facility or plant, that would have little impact on a vehicle purchase, for instance. Now, there's a lot to think about when coming up with the right suite of solutions to address our emissions and ensure we're still economically competitive. But the best bang for buck policy, at least right now going into 2023, by far, is to address our largest emitters and to do it in ways that currently exist in provinces like Alberta. The other thing for us to keep in mind is that since Canada's economy is so heavily dependent on exports, we'll need to make sure we're competitive with other trading partners. For example, the European Union cares about climate change and they're prioritizing it. And starting in 2026, there'll be something called a carbon border adjustment. This means that any country importing goods into the EU will have an added carbon tax to align with carbon taxes imposed on European businesses. So if European businesses are getting a carbon tax, they don't want to disadvantage them by having other companies from abroad import their goods and not face the same carbon tax. So they're making that sort of adjustment. So if Canada wants to export products, then they probably want to do so with a lower carbon footprint because it'll have a better chance of competing in Europe. And more and more of the world is actually adopting some form of carbon pricing. Nearly about 25% of the world's emissions are being done so this way through some sort of carbon pricing or trading scheme. And, you know, businesses, of course, no one wants added pricing, right? But, you know, they want certainty. And they also recognize that having restrictive regulations as to say, hey, you no longer can be in business, are probably going to be way worse. So what do you think? Should a new federal government focus on reducing emissions from the largest emitter? I hope the answer was clear to you. To me, it is, but I think you should all think about it and vote with what you think makes sense. Okay, that's another episode of Government Policy Unpacked. Join me next time as I'll be focusing on other issues, particularly since we're in this federal election period, issues related to that. Please, if you could do me one favor, please hit that follow button, write a review, and share this episode with anyone who cares about climate change, the economy, Canada, or is just looking to know what's next after the carbon tax that was effectively axed. I'm Rupesh Patel. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you all. Cheers.